Welcome back. It's time for another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today, live from the campus of West Virginia University. WVU Marketing Communications Today is a syndicated show. It sits squarely at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice. From one of the faculty members at the Masters of Science DMC program, it's Matt Cummings. Tell us all about it. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Paul. Thank you. And thank you all for tuning in today. This series is certainly growing in popularity, and we appreciate your continued interest in WVU Marketing Communications Today, and especially today's data-related topic, treat data like a team member. I'm excited about this week's episode because here today to share insights with us is Leo Morihan, an award-winning marketer, sales leader, and podcaster, and a Guinness Book of World Record holder. More on that in just a bit. Leo began his career as a marketer who pioneered real-time marketing and as a sales leader at leading SaaS tech companies. His work includes the world-famous Oreo Super Bowl blackout tweet. Some call that the marketing Super Bowl winning strategy. And he's holder of the first Guinness Book of World Records in social media. And over his career, he's used data-driven marketing communications to drive millions in sales across top companies such as Mondelez and the Estee Lauder companies. Today, Leo combines his marketing expertise and sales knowledge to support both marketers and salespeople in reaching their potential via consulting, his blog, buildandinspire.com, and his sales consultancy, I love this name, dogandpony.io. It's my pleasure to welcome Leo to the show. Hi, Leo.
Hey, Matthew. How are you? It's an honor to be here.
Well, thanks for taking the time today. So I have to start out by asking about the Oreo blackout tweet. You know, it's one that's often cited in my graduate class by students as an example of a brand empowering its marketing team and agency to really act quickly and take advantage of an opportunity. So tell us how that happened. You know, what did that process look like, and how did your 360i and Oreo brand team get together and really get that thing out in minutes?
Oh man, it was such a magical moment, but really, I always like to tell everyone it started over 100 years ago. It was 100 years in the making.
Right.
Around that time, Oreo was just turning 100. So we had so many different activities that were going on and so many different campaigns, like the Guinness World Record that you mentioned, or even the Daily Twist, which was 100 years of real-time culture jacking, where we had literally a newsroom. We get it in the morning, we look at what's happening in the news, and by the end of the day, we work with the clients, different agencies, different partners, and said, what is going to resonate the most today? And let's get it out as fast as we possibly could.
So you're not planning years in advance. You're talking about, you're meeting in the morning, and you're saying, here's what's going on, and how do we take advantage of it, huh?
You got it. So I always say it came down to practice, hard work, and last but not least, really loving the brand. Till this day, I could still talk about Oreo cookies for hours. The first one was sold in Hoboken, New Jersey. It was sold in tins. It was baked in New York, right? We say Oreo cookies. We don't say Oreos because it degrades the trademark. Like,
right.
Things like that are really the foundational elements that allow us to do that.
So take us to that Super Bowl day, and you're together, I assume, with the Oreo brand team, and what happens?
So basically, we're there for a totally different campaign that completely gets overshadowed, but I absolutely love it too. So basically, if you wanted to have someone sculpt something for you, an Oreo cream, you just Instagram the photo, and a real artist would sculpt it, which was amazing. We set up the newsroom just in case anybody said anything related to that program or, you know, if something did happen. And we're there tweeting, we're going through all the different posts that are being created from the cream and all that, and all of a sudden, the lights go out. And I mean this, it was magic. Like, we all just looked around at each other and we're like, yep, because we're just ready, right? We had the 100 days of posting and real-time culture jacking. We had the Guinness World Record. We knew what to do. We were ready. So we all just looked at each other, and it was just basically like, no one said anything. It was just like nodding heads and saying, yeah, okay. Just, I don't even know if words came out, to be honest. It was just, that's how I remember it. It was just like, we just knew what to do. We were that ready.
And it happened, and it was magic. And really, it changed the industry in real-time marketing and brought that to the fore.
Yes, it changed the industry. It changed my life. It changed the life of all the wonderful people that worked on it, all the talented people that worked on it. There were lots of people that worked on that. So I can't take credit for that solely. It was really just really hundreds of people that even came before me. It really made an impact. And I've been fortunate to be part of a lot of really amazing campaigns after that as well because of that. And yeah, real-time marketing is a thing. I was just in Chattanooga, Tennessee for the real-time marketing summit and really was able to show off and talk a lot about that and see how the impact we made. It's just been magical, and I've been so fortunate.
Awesome. Continues years later. So I want to shift gears and talk a little bit more about data here for the rest of the show. And when you and I started chatting about today's podcast, you kept mentioning the word relationship and a relationship that marketers need to have with data. Ideally, what should that relationship look like?
Really, just like any other team member. Consider data as any other team member that you have in your organization. And the reason I go back to relationships and humans and team members is because really behind every business, behind every marketing campaign, behind any brand, behind anything, really, they're humans, right? So I was thinking there's a lot of data out there. How can we make sure that we focus on making it human-based from the very beginning, so then the output is based on humans as well? So it's really focused on seven key elements. Respect, mentorship or education, challenging, listening, promoting, sharing, and last but not least, firing. Same kind of elements that you would interact with your team is how you should look at data.
Right. A lot of leadership lessons in there in managing people and working with people. I think we need to unpack some of these, or actually, let's unpack all of these. If you don't mind, and explaining, let's start with respect. And can you talk a little bit more about how marketers need to respect that team member in data?
Of course. So respect, the first thing people think about when it comes to respect is caring for it, making sure that it's important. But one important element of respecting the team member or your data is not hurting it, right? Mm-hmm. Making sure that it's growing, making sure that you're facilitating the growth of it, making sure that you're there so that it's getting better. So it's not just, I have this data and this is what we're using for the rest of the world. Excuse me, for the rest of the campaign or the rest of the brand project. It's really making sure that we're taking care of the data and feeding the right information in so we're getting the right information out.
Sure. The other one you mentioned, mentoring or mentorship and educating. Can you expand on that one?
Yeah. And one of these, the Columbia gets the other kind of. So basically making sure that we're adding and growing that data set, right? Because just because we start with, let's say, Facebook Insights, Facebook is always going to be adding new data. We want to make sure that if it's the right data, we add it. If it's not the right data, we don't add it. So we want to make sure that we're growing. The data set that we start with today or that we started with yesterday should not look the same tomorrow. It should grow. And you should think about the different areas, right? Like we've seen different brands using even like weather data to understand when perhaps their delivery service business is actually going to grow. So that's what I mean by mentoring and educating. Like, what else can we add to this? And things that are unconventional. Like I mentioned, that's a real example. I even know brands that work in the pharmaceutical industry that listen using social media listening tools to see when people are going to say they're coughing or that they're not feeling well, right? So that they actually know faster than the government know when people are getting sick because of Twitter. It's that mentorship and that's educating to the data set.
You also mentioned challenging, and I know data is a topic that we dissect here on this program all the time, and it's a challenge for marketers, but that's not really what you mean here, right?
No. I mean, basically, question it. Is this right? Right? Is this what we should be doing? It's not following that blindly. you want to make sure that you're questioning it. Should we be doing this? Does this make sense? Do we have the right data set? And that's something you can do with your team too. And it's not always, you know, what you say is how you say it when it comes to a human being, but data is a lot easier. They don't have emotions. So you always want to create that friction and say, is this what needs to be happening?
Mm-hmm. What about listening?
Listening really comes down to making sure you actually use it. I always talk about things like confirmation bias and other things like that. And a lot of times people will have data, pay millions of dollars for their tools, get the best data scientists, and then just say, you know what? We're not going to use it now. And it could be, it's also based on time and resources, but if you invested that much, listen to it. Mm-hmm. It sounds obvious, but you see it more often than you would imagine.
Now, this one really jumped out at me, promoting.
Mm-hmm. So promoting, we could kind of combine it even with sharing, making sure that you're sharing information with the rest of the teams. And that could be marketing, sharing it with PR, sharing it with corporate comms, or sharing it with the product development team and vice versa. A lot of times I see information being siloed and I'm like, wait, if sales has this information, marketing would absolutely love this. And right. Especially sales and marketing, right? Like they should be sharing information every single day. In fact, I think a lot of the information that's being developed and being used should actually come from both teams as just one piece of data. So it's really making sure that it's important, and it becomes ever so more important within the organization or within the team.
So one definitely informs the other. About firing? You took promoting and sharing together there, but firing, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, knowing when to ignore it too, and when that data set is incorrect. And
right.
That is sometimes hard to do, and it could be because of an investment. We invested so much in gathering this data, we need to use it. That's bad business.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You collected the information, it was bad. If you realize it's bad, move on. So it's almost like when it comes to human, even like hire slow, fire fast. You know, you learn from your mistakes and move forward.
Right.
And a lot of people don't do that.
So of these keys to that relationship, what are the top two that you feel marketers and others struggle with the most? And how can we improve in those areas?
Sure. Definitely it has to be listening and firing. And because of two human fallacies that every human being has. One is confirmation bias, which is the tendency to interpret new evidence as confirmation of one's existing beliefs, right? So I'm always looking for something that proves what I believe. If I believe that open workspaces are the best, I'm only going to look for articles and I'm only going to look for data that shows workspaces are the best, right?
Right.
And we do that in life, right? Like if I say pizza is the best food in the world, I'm always going to be like, this is why, right?
I come from a PR background, so I made it a career out of that.
Yeah, that's true. And then this confirming evidence, right, which is the evidence that refutes one's beliefs. So it's almost the opposite of it. It's like, just you can't ignore it. You got to look for this. And what marketers need to do, and this is just, again, just going back to human relationships, we'll always have this as humans. It's recognizing it and doing something about it, saying, wow, you know what? Let's look for something else. Back to even, I mentioned challenging, like, all right, we have this, but is it right? Question it. And that's how you change. And I don't think anybody, like I mentioned, anybody will ever not do this. I do this all the time. It's about recognizing that you're doing it and then correcting action.
That's great advice. Great advice for data, great advice for working with people as well. We are going to take a quick break now. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this relationship with data and why it's so important, and also how advances in technology may change that dynamic over time. So hang tight there, Leo, and we're going to be right back.
And yes, we will have to remind you all about West Virginia University's online data marketing communications program. It's the first graduate program of its kind in the country, focusing on strategic thinking, critical problem solving, and informed decision making using data. The data marketing communications program prepares you for your career by learning these innovative, important tactics and skills from award-winning faculty like our host here today. It's easy to find out more. Simply go to the website, dmc.wvu.edu. 9 little letters that can change your life for data marketing communications at West Virginia University. dmc.wvu.edu. And now back to Matthew, who understands how to interpret all this code that I'm always throwing out here, all these letters and acronyms here.
There's IMC, Integrated Marketing Communications. There's DMC, Data Marketing Communications. Ah. And underneath each of those, hundreds and hundreds of other acronyms.
And what is the difference, real simply, between the IMC program at your school and the DMC program, the data marketing and the integrated marketing?
Really just the focus. So the focus of one is IMC. The other is marketing communications with just more of a data focus. Both are Master of Science programs. So that's really, it really just depends
and
on
are
the
they
direction.
On campus or online, or how do people take those classes?
Both are exclusively online. So students from around the country and around the world.
If you were going to learn how to do online communications, why would you sit in a classroom to do it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Leo and I aren't sitting next to each other
no.
right now, but we're having a great conversation.
That's the point of the whole story here. Well, I look forward to carry on.
Sounds good. Thank you, Paul. Again, you're listening to WVU Marketing Communications Today. Our guest today is Leo Morihan, award-winning marketer, consultant, blogger, and owner of dogandpony.io. Let's jump right back into it. Before the break, Leo, we talked about the keys to a solid marketer and data relationship. Beyond developing that relationship with data, what other areas should marketers focus on to improve their use of data and the information that it provides?
Have the right tools for the right situation and the right vertical. Having the right tools is number one. Right. Mm-hmm. From everything, being able to collect data, to be able to analyze that data, to be able to go ahead and share and visualize that data. That is number one. With the technology that exists today, we could do things we couldn't even do 5 years ago. Right? Humans right. can't process the amount of information that we have or analyze the amount of information that we have. And one of the things as someone who used to sell marketing and data technology as well, I always focused on even just using the right words internally with your team and externally, or even when you're sourcing a tool. For instance, a lot of times people would like to say analytics, but there's a big difference between analytics and data. Data being just the raw numbers, and analytics being that processing and information and understanding of what that data means. And a lot of tools will say they have analytics, but they really just have data. So it's right. really having the tools and using them correctly.
So you mentioned that technology, and our industry, as you know, and as everyone listening knows, is constantly changing. So mm-hmm. will marketers' relationship with data also change then based on these new advancements and talking about things like AI and machine learning and so on?
100%. Yeah. It is changing today. It's been changing. It's going to change. AI, I still get a question. If AI, artificial intelligence, is a buzz term. It is absolutely not. It will make an impact on every single aspect of our lives, and especially as marketers, being able, like I mentioned before, being able to collect data, understand data, analyze that data. And in the past, we had algorithms where we'd ask questions to the data and really just get those answers. With AI, AI will generate its own questions and its own aspects and its own mm-hmm. way to look at things. And that is changing everything.
We often say we don't know what we don't know, but with AI, it knows what it doesn't know and then asks the right questions, right?
You got it. That's a really good way to put it. It knows what we don't know, and then it presents it to us.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And so you feel that that changes the relationship for the better?
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Not even feel. I know based on studies and everything where data that would take years upon years, hundreds of years, really, AI, machine learning, and other pieces of technology related to artificial intelligence could crunch that data within weeks, days, hours that a yeah. human would just, it'd be impossible to do. And that's awesome. Happening today.
So there's a lot here. What's an area that you would tell everyone in data or in marketing that they need to focus on? What's the priority here starting today?
The artificial intelligence and machine learning and every aspect of artificial intelligence. So machine learning
How did I know you'd say that?
It's changing the future.
Sure.
It's making an impact everywhere, right? So, yeah, if you could understand that. And here's the thing. Right now, AI is not intelligent enough to replace a human. And a lot of the what we call knowledge workers, right? Like data scientists, marketers, and such like that. And but it is there to provide suggestions, right? So humans need to understand why this piece of information was shared by the AI and then make a judgment on it. They need to understand how it works, how to feed it correctly, you know, how to essentially have a good relationship with the AI and machine learning. And machine learning is something that's been around for over like 20, 30 years too.
Yeah.
So a lot, in many ways, this isn't new technology. It's now finally coming to the forefront.
So something that we like to do in our master's courses is really look at case studies and look at brands that are doing this well. There's a lot to learn from that. So who is doing this well, treating data as that valued and trusted team member in a powerful way?
Netflix, hands down. Netflix is my favorite. It's the darling when it comes to data, and you see it. Look at all the fantastic shows. Look at how fast they're growing. They look at everything from ratings to what people are searching to the dates and times things are being watched to the length. I even heard rumors that they would look at illegal downloads of websites through BitTorrent and such. And that is one of the ways that they decided what to produce. So this is just an example. I don't know if they did this for Full House, but perhaps they looked at BitTorrent and saw, wow, people are downloading Full House a lot. Let's go ahead and reboot. So, and I, like I said, I don't know if that was done with Full House specifically, but I've heard that's what they
cut
do.
It
and
out, right?
I'm like, yeah, cut it out. Well, Uncle Jesse over there. I mean, just looking at that, right? So, like, what excites me is those kind of things, like looking at the weather for the delivery, looking at people coughing on Twitter, things that you will never ever think about, but is data that is out there. That excites me, and Netflix is doing that.
Anybody else?
Amazon.
Yeah.
It'd have to be Amazon. Yeah, everything from logistics. I mean, they've revolutionized the way logistics works to virtual assistants. I can't say her name because you'll hear her in the background talk to me. But
right, and, or she'll order something.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have your speakers up? Maybe I'll order something for you.
Yeah, right, just something funny. But they're revolutionizing everything. The data that they're collecting, the way that, similar to even Netflix, the recommendation engine, like as soon as I was actually buying some new microphones for my podcast, and they're already like, hey, you also need this specific stand, and you also need these specific mic covers. And I'm like, all right, cool. This is fantastic. Where if it wasn't recommended to me, I would have just skipped them or not found them or not even thought about them.
Sure.
So the way that they're using data is just fantastic.
They know us better than we know ourselves. So marketing though is still a mix of an art and a science. You know, we focused a lot today on the data side, but often marketers find themselves trying to find that balance between data and analysis and also gut and instinct and heart. So what advice do you have for marketers who might be struggling with this or hearing different areas of emphasis from the leaders that they are, you know, reporting to?
Yeah, it's knowing your brand. Knowing the vertical that you're in, knowing the exact environment that you're in, that is what will allow you to have the ability to make a gut decision. I've been in this situation before on Oreo where there was infographics that were going around and everyone was saying infographics are the best thing in the world. Everyone's posting them and they're doing really well. In fact, we looked at a lot of other brands and they were doing really well. But my team and I, because we worked on Oreo for 3 years, we're like, you know what? They are cool. When we see what's being produced, it's just not going to work for us. And we actually ended up going regardless because the data said it. Like, nope, the data around CPGs and other brands as infographics are fantastic.
We spent Amazing.
A lot of resources to make it happen, and it was probably one of our worst performing posts ever, relatively speaking to, you know, data changes and all, excuse me, metric changes and all that. But yeah, we went with our gut because I knew the brand, I knew the community, my team knew the brand and knew the community so, so well that we knew this is a time to ignore the data.
Yeah. Last question, Leo. You know, we've talked tools, terminology, what that relationship should look like. What do you like to read on this topic? Where should students or emerging professionals interested in this space go? Obviously, other than buildandinspire.com, of course, for Thank thought you. Leadership in this area.
Definitely, two of my favorite blogs are smartdatacollective.com.
Okay.
A lot of really good information. In fact, I think they have a really good infographic on what's happening with Netflix and how they're using it, and all the big data. And then data economy as well. So it's data economy without the e.com. Two of the best resources, even inside bigdata.com. Actually, I think that's who has the Netflix infographic and how they're using data. And I've spent hours upon hours reading that and learning and applying that.
Awesome. I'm going to go check that out. Anything else to add, Leo, before we wrap things up today?
I think we are in the most exciting time when it comes to being analytics people, when it comes to being marketers. We should be absolutely excited to be living where we're living. I always show and talk about billboards or magazines and ask, how much data did we get there? What was the share rate and the engagement rate on a print ad on a billboard? So we should be excited. I'm inspired every single day. And anytime someone has a question that I think that I just get excited.
Yeah.
Just everyone should be excited.
This was awesome. Great advice. Great insights here, Leo. Thank you for spending some time with us today to share those. And thank you for listening. WVU Marketing Communications Today. From all of us here at West Virginia University, I hope you found today's episode as informative and exciting as I have. Until next time, take care.
Thank you.
You've been listening to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. Brought to you from the good folks at West Virginia University and the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.